The Republican Party's invitation to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to address a joint session of Congress on March 3rd, where he challenged a future international nuclear deal with Iran, was widely criticized for its breach of protocol and failing to notify the White House. But when GOP Arkansas freshman Senator Tom Cotton initiated a letter signed by 47 of his Republican colleagues that warned the Iranian government that any nuclear agreement they sign with President Obama could quickly be overturned by a successor government, a firestorm of criticism erupted across the nation, with dozens of editorials condemning the letter and the appearance of the Twitter hashtag 47Traitors plastered all over social media. Some GOP operatives felt compelled to claim the letter was not to be taken seriously. Ironically, the Cotton letter may have backfired by uniting some wavering Democrats to give President Obama more time to conduct international negotiations with Iran, with the goal of preventing the nation from acquiring nuclear weapons. But legislation sponsored by Republican Senate Foreign Relations Chair Bob Corker that would give Congress 60 days to reject or approve any Iranian nuclear agreement and expedite the consideration of new sanctions if Iran is found to be cheating on the deal may be voted on in April. By some estimates, the bill is supported by enough Democrats to override a promised presidential veto. Your reporter spoke with Jim Loeb, Washington Bureau Chief of the international news agency Interpress Service and editor and publisher of theloebblog.com. Here he discusses the links between Senator Tom Cotton and neoconservative activists whose ultimate goal is regime change in Iran.
Cotton, he was elected senator in just this past election. He defeated the incumbent, and he did so with considerable financial support. It was one of the most expensive Senate races in the country. More than $14 million was spent by his direct campaign, of which Paul Singer, who's a major kind of funder of neoconservative, especially Israel-focused neoconservative causes, provided a substantial amount of funding. And in addition, something called the Emergency Committee for Israel, or ECI, which is headed more or less by Bill Kristol, the editor of the Weekly Standard and longtime neoconservative Republican activist, contributed almost $1 million to his campaign indirectly, that is, funded an ad campaign against his opponents on his behalf as part of a kind of super PAC organization. Before he was elected senator, Cotton was a one-term representative from a fairly rural area of Arkansas, which is where he's from originally. However, he went to Harvard and then Harvard Law, and after 9/11, he joined the Army and served for 6 years, including in Iraq and Afghanistan. And in 2006, he was stationed just outside Washington, and he began being cultivated by Kristol himself. They had some teachers or professors in common back at Harvard. Obviously, Kristol saw in Cotton a potential major star in the Republican Party and someone who would adhere to the kind of neoconservative worldview that Kristol has long propagated.
Well, Jim, maybe you could give us some insight as to the goals of the neoconservative movement in Washington today. Many analysts look at these efforts to undermine the nuclear negotiations with Iran by the United States and the permanent members of the Security Council at the UN plus Germany as really leaving no alternative but for military action sometime in the future. I think some of these neocons have made no bones about the fact that they see a future war with Iran as desirable.
There are relatively few who come out and just say we want war, but I think the belief among Iran experts is that if these negotiations collapse, it's unlikely that Iran will return to the negotiating table. And while they're unlikely to radically accelerate their nuclear program in order to build a bomb, tensions are going to rise, and ultimately it could very well result in war. And that's more or less what the Obama administration is arguing as well.
I wanted to ask you about when there was so much controversy about the Cotton letter signed by these 47 Republican senators. What got less attention was the bipartisan support for a bill sponsored by Tennessee Senator Bob Corker, which also provides the Senate some opportunity to vote down any kind of agreement that the Obama administration and its international partners might come up with Iranian nuclear negotiations. Could you say a word about the Corker bill and its possible effect on these negotiations?
Yeah, I think it's important that you have brought it up, because in fact it poses a much more immediate threat to the negotiations than the letter signed by the 47 senators, simply because it looks like Corker wants to rush it through committee before the 24th of March, or as of the 24th of March. We may not have a deal by the 24th. It could very well take another week to reach such a deal, but Corker seems very, very eager to get something passed, and as the Corker bill is now written, it would definitely undermine the negotiations. The Iranians would be very concerned by its provisions, which include, bringing in issues that have nothing to do with the negotiations themselves. For example, one provision says that if an American citizen is killed as a result of an act of terror that can be tied to Iran, then immediately sanctions will take effect again. Another provision of the bill would deny Obama his waiver authority, that is, his ability to waive sanctions in order to get a deal for a period of 60 days while Congress has a chance to either vote the agreement favorably or unfavorably, which would mean essentially a 60-day period in which everything would be held in suspense. And that would probably be very unacceptable to the Iranians, almost certainly. So there are extremely problematic provisions in the Corker bill that would likely derail the negotiation. And 10 Democratic senators have signed on to that bill as co-sponsors. Obama has pledged to veto the Corker bill if it is passed, and it's very possible that his veto could be overridden, in which case I think then the negotiation would collapse, and then with pretty disastrous consequences. For one thing, I think even our European allies, Britain, France, and Germany, which have been negotiating alongside with us as part of the so-called P5 plus one, even they would probably become completely exasperated and saying, sorry, we're not going to enforce these sanctions any longer, that it's really impossible under these circumstances to reach a deal, a reasonable deal. So that legislation is fraught with risk. It's very problematic.
That was Jim Loeb, Washington bureau chief of the international news agency Interpress Service and editor and publisher of theloebblog.com. For more perspectives on current nuclear negotiations with Iran, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.